is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Liz Lemon. This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Liz Lemon.
Welcome to Good Neighbor Podcast. Are you in need of some pops? Well, surprisingly, it might be closer than you think. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing your neighbor, Julie Tremont, with Crooked Stick Pops. How are you doing today, Julie?
Great. I'm doing quite well, Liz. How about you?
Very great. Thank you so much for asking. We're excited to learn all about you and your business. Please tell us about it.
So Crooked Stick Pops was founded in 2016. We're based in East Hampton, so a little bit up the road from Palmer, but not too far. We source locally as much as possible. So all of our berries and orchard fruits and stone fruits come from within about a 25-mile radius of East Hampton. So the fruit is super fresh, which makes really, really tasty pops.
How did you get into the business?
I have a family friend who lives in Florida where, you know, all fruit grows. And so there are a ton of these little artisanal pop shops just all over the state. But there was one in St. Augustine, Florida called The Hippo. And I just fell in love with it, you know, just like a fresh, all natural product made from fruit that's grown locally. It just sort of resonated with all the things that I love. And so that sort of came into my world about the same time that I just needed a pretty dramatic change from my 9-to-5 desk job. So in the summer of 2015, quit the salaried 401k benefited job and started making popsicles.
What are the myths and misconceptions in the pop industry?
Oh gosh. There are a number of them. I think the number one misconception is that what we do is sort of on par with conventionally available popsicles, which is just not the case. Like popsicle brand popsicles are made of food coloring and water and sugar. And even like the really good brands are usually mostly water. Our pops are predominantly fruit. So they're more like a fruit smoothie frozen on a stick. And people will say, oh, so you use juice? And it's like, no. I go to the farm, I pick up whole fruit, I process it, I blend it, I freeze it, I then bring it out to markets or food festivals or to our retailers. So it's sort of new in what it is in a sort of smaller scale. So like all of the artisanal ice cream makers have Ben & Jerry's and Häagen-Dazs who sort of opened the door for that type of product. Whereas with popsicles, there really isn't someone who's opened that door for us. So we're having to do a lot of sort of the ground level education in terms of what a real popsicle is about.
Outside of work, what do you do for fun?
Good question. It depends on the season. In the summer, nothing because I work all of my waking hours. It's the joy of a seasonal business. When we are closed, we're not closed, when we slow down, we're still open. You know, my big thing is food. I mean, part of having a food-based business is you have to love food, and I do. So when I'm not in my popsicle kitchen, I am very frequently in my home kitchen cooking because that's just, you know, it's a stress relief, anxiety relief, and joy kind of situation.
Let's change gears for a moment. Can you describe one hardship or life challenges that you rose above and can now say because of it, you're better and stronger? Comes to mind.
Wow. Well, I mean, I feel like that's an easy question nowadays because there was the whole like 2020. But, you know, as a small business owner, so we turned 5 in 2020. And the statistics about small business are that within the 5th year of business, 70% of small businesses fail. And so I had year 5 like looming over my head as like, this is the year we have to make it. And then the world closed, which felt like an extra special needed to make it. We were really blessed in that I had a pretty good base of customers. And I just reached out to them and said, the world has ended. How would you feel about having popsicles delivered to your door since I can't come, you know, we can't come to events together. And the response was unbelievable, which is honestly like my fan base is why we are still in business. They kept us alive in 2020. But the thing that I realized from that, which was actually really important for me as a very independent, stubborn person, is there's beauty in asking for help. Like the people who'd supported my business for the first 4 years were delighted to help me when I asked. And that was really hard for me, but it was such a great lesson of when you need help, ask for it. It's astounding how many people will help lift you up if you just tell them you need it.
That's great. What is the one thing you wish our listeners knew about Crooked Stick Pops?
One thing, I want them to know everything. So we do about 150 to 200 events over the summer. We cover a lot of ground. We have fabulous wholesale partners that we would love for everyone to support because we get invited to things we just can't attend because we get spread pretty thin. So like in Palmer, there's this awesome new brewery called Seven Railroads, and Rachel, who is one of my most favorite humans on the planet, and a like pop fanatic, was like, I'm carrying your popsicles in my brewery. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, we don't have a presence in Palmer, and that's great. You know? So I think instead of thinking like, oh, I have to go to the event where Crooked Stick Pops is located, you know, going and supporting another business that is carrying us is sometimes even better because then you get a 2-for-1 of supporting us and another business.
Right. How can our listeners learn more about Crooked Stick Pops?
Well, one of the benefits of my life is my husband is a web designer, so I have a much nicer website than I should. So crookedstickpops.com is the easiest way to sort of get the whole scoop on what we do. And then we also do Facebook and Instagram. I did not grow up in the era of these things being part of daily life, so I'm not super fabulous at keeping those updated. The website is sort of more our mainstay. But the socials, you know, are good for sort of pop-up things that we do.
Well, Julie, I really appreciate you being on the show, and we wish you and your business the best moving forward.
Thanks so much, Liz. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnppalmer.com. That's gnppalmer.com. Or call 413-414-5940.